we've gone through already the examples of Abel and Enoch. Abel and Enoch, of course, are mentioned quite briefly in the narrative of Genesis. Noah occupies a larger space in the narrative, and there are more details given to us about Noah, his life, his actions, and so on. And as we look at the way the apostle in Hebrews speaks of Noah, we see the value of his example is that it helps us to grasp the nature of faith. Abel and Enoch helped us to see what faith looks like, the kind of worship that it leads to, example of Enoch contrasted with Cain, the kind of life that it leads to. Enoch walked with God, pleased God by his faith. But the example of Noah helps us to see what faith is, to get to the nature of faith. And of course, it's not that Abel and Enoch don't do this, but the value especially of Noah's example, because of the extensive record of Genesis talking to us about what Noah did, how he responded to God's word, how he behaved, especially in light of the fact that we are told specifically what revelation Noah was given. God spoke to Noah. We have the record of that speech. We know what Noah heard, and we can see how he responded. And I think we see this link in Hebrews 11, because when we come to the example of Noah, we have the same phrase being used. Hebrews 11 verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. And this is the same phrase that was used in verse 1 to define faith. What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's where the example of Noah especially comes in. It shows us in what way this faith is able to be evidence of things that cannot be seen. This is specifically what happened with Noah, as we will see. And this is what faith is. This is how faith is defined here. Faith is that which allows us to lay hold of a future that is unseen and yet sure, certain. And the certainty of it is based on faith. And this is something that the apostle here, Hebrews, is especially concerned to communicate to us. This is his great burden, especially in this part of the epistle. If you just look at the previous verses of chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Confidence, sureness, certainty, reward, something that lies ahead. Verse 36, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Something that lies ahead, something that's future. After you have done the will of God, you receive the promise. Therefore, you have need of patience now. You have need of perseverance now. You must persevere in obedience. Don't turn back. We are not of them which who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Persevere, don't turn back, continue in the way of obedience. After you have obeyed the will of God, you will receive the promise. The sureness of this, the certainty of this, is by faith. So again, a bit later on in Hebrews 11, verse 13, all these examples, Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, all brought together in these terms, Hebrews 11 verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, embraced them, all by faith. Things not seen. They didn't receive the fullness of the things that God promised. They died with much more yet to be fulfilled, and yet by faith, they had already laid hold of these things, already embraced them, already lived in light of them. That's what faith is. The substance of things hoped for. It is something solid, something substantial. Hope by itself. Hope can be something very insubstantial, just wishful thinking. I hope, I hope. But the hope that comes from faith is not insubstantial, because faith gives it substance. faith is the solid ground. Faith is the basis, the undergirding, the foundation of our hope. When we stand and hope on faith, we stand firmly. We hope surely. Faith is what gives solidity to hope, so that it is not just wishful thinking. By faith, they embrace the promises. It's not just a vague wish for the future. It's something substantial, something sure. That's because of faith. Faith is evidence. In a courtroom, if you want to make a claim, you have to substantiate that claim with evidence. And the evidence has to be something substantive. It can't just be hearsay. It can't be things that are uncertain or doubtful, things that are open to question, things that can be interpreted in any number of ways. Those won't stand as evidence. But in the spiritual realm, faith is evidence. And it is no less convincing. What we know on the basis of faith, we know evidentially. We know for sure. Because faith is that evidence. So for example, 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 8. Speaking of Christ, whom having not seen, ye love. How is that possible? How could you love someone that you have never seen? Sometimes we say this, right? Nowadays, you have people entering into relationships with someone they met online. And we say, you're being foolish. You've never met this person. You don't know this person. How can you say you love this person? And yet, Christ, whom having not seen, we love. Is that foolish? We haven't seen him? But we know him. How? By faith. Faith is that evidence. We are able to love someone that we have not seen because we have faith in the Word of God. Christ, as He's revealed to us in God's Word, is a real person who we really know by faith. Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see Him not, yet believing ye rejoice. His joy unspeakable and full of glory. Think also of what the Apostle Paul says, writing to Timothy. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. How can Paul know with such certainty? Faith. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. This is why Christians are able to know these things. Because by faith, we take God's word as evidence. God has spoken, God has said, that's evidence. That's all I need to be sure. It is faith that allows us to do that. By faith, God's word is reliable and true. We embrace it as such. Faith is what allows us to take God's word as evidence because we are convinced that He is true. This is what we see in the example of Noah, as it is used here in Hebrews. And it's something important for us, because this way of knowing things in our age has fallen into disrepute. If you say you know something by faith, people laugh, right? What is the idea of faith that people have now? If you talk about faith to your friends who are unbelievers, they might likely say, faith is just wishful thinking, right? Faith is just imagination. It's when you have no evidence, that's when you say, I have faith. But that's not the picture of faith that we see in Scripture. The world thinks of knowledge as something that must be based on scientific evidence. You must be able to prove things scientifically. Then you can know for sure. The fact of the matter is that the claims of Scripture, the claims of God's Word, since they are spiritual, moral, insofar as they are spiritual and moral and eternal, they cannot be investigated by such methods, scientific methods, and so on. You cannot prove these things scientifically. Does that mean you cannot know them at all? You cannot know them that way. You can know them by faith. the reality of sin and the fall, as it is described in the Word of God. The reality of redemption, the promise of redemption, the way of redemption. These are things that you must grasp by faith. The promise of eternity, heaven and hell. These are things that must be received by faith. God reveals them. It is not illegitimate for us to say, we know, because our basis is faith. And it's important for us to know, because these claims have very much to do with the way we live now. These are not claims that we can afford to set aside. These are not abstract theorems, mathematical theorems. You learn maths, you learn all these theorems. You don't need to know whether they're true or not in order to live, right? By and large. You can set them aside. You can say, I don't know. But not with this. Is there a God? Has He given us His law? Has He told us how He wants us to live? Is there a judgment? You cannot say, I don't know, because this is your life. This is how you're going to live. You can't set that aside. This has everything to do with your day-to-day life, your choices, your decisions, your relationships, your actions, your reactions. You must know. You must be sure. In order to live. And this is where the example of Noah is really helpful for us. Because we see in Noah what faith is as it is lived out in light of God's word, even when God's word has to do with things not seen. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. And we read from Genesis chapter 6. What is it that Noah was warned about? God said, I am going to judge the world. I bring a flood of waters to cover the earth. Every living thing that is on the face of the earth will die. Had that ever happened before? There had never been such a flood. It's probable that there never was any flood in the days of Noah. Noah was told this was a flood that would wipe out all life on earth. And we see the description in Genesis. This is not merely rain. It's not just a lot of rain. This was an entire convulsion of the whole earth. Genesis chapter 11, or Genesis chapter 7, verse 11. The windows of heaven were opened. The fountains of the great deep were broken up. The whole earth was changed, transformed by this. Everything was overturned. This had never happened before. And that's what God said to Noah. Who could believe such a thing? On what basis is Noah going to believe such a thing? What is he going to say to God? Such a thing has never happened in the history of the world. No one has ever seen it. No one has ever recorded it or described it. It goes against everything we know about the way the world works. We observe the world now. We see the laws, the order, the harmony, the progress of nature. This does not fit with what we know. Is that what Noah is going to say to God? It cannot be. It's impossible. It goes against everything that we have observed, everything that we have experienced. There are no warning signs, like with volcanoes or earthquakes. Sometimes there's a tremor. If someone says there's an earthquake coming, you can say, well, there was a tremor last week. Nothing. No warning signs. No past experience. No previous floods of this magnitude. There's no way to investigate such a claim empirically. No material evidence could have supported such a claim. Noah had nothing to go on except the word of God. God says, this is what he is going to do. But this is what Noah believed by faith. And therefore he acted. And you see how this action was necessary. God says, this is what is going to happen. You must build the ark. What if Noah says, I don't know, I'm not sure, and he does nothing? Then what will happen? He will perish with the rest, won't he? He cannot say, well, I wasn't sure. You have to be sure, one way or the other, because this is your life. Do you live in light of what God has said, or do you set it aside and live some other way? That was the choice that Noah had to make. By faith, he made the right choice because he believed the word of God. And he lived accordingly. He did what God said. Faith gave him his motivation. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. Where did that fear come from? Faith. God says he's going to judge the world. Faith is what gave Noah that motivation, the fear to act on what God has said. This is not a craven fear, but a reverence and awe in the face of God's holiness and God's judgment. Noah was told not just what God is going to do, but why. Again, in Genesis chapter 6, God said, the whole earth is filled with iniquity, filled with violence. Noah knew God is going to judge. The flood comes in judgment. Noah was moved with fear. His faith led to that proper attitude of fear. Not indifference, not uncertainty, but fear. And that in turn led to his proper action. In obedience to God's command, he prepared an ark. That in turn led to his deliverance and the deliverance of his household from that flood. Faith is what began this process that led to his deliverance from the flood, from the judgment. So that when the judgment came, he was found in the ark, and his family as well, he brought them in with him. And by this, Hebrews 11:7 says, by this he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By this he condemned the world. Why? Because he heard and obeyed, but they did not. His life of faith was exemplified in this instance of faith, when God spoke and he believed and obeyed. Their lack of faith, the rest of the world, a whole life of iniquity and violence is exemplified here, in that they did not listen. And we know that Noah was preaching righteousness. 2 Peter chapter 2, Noah is called the preacher of righteousness. Noah was not silent about what he heard. Noah was not silent about God's holiness, about God's judgment. He preached righteousness, Peter tells us. But when the door of the ark was closed, no one else was in it, and no one in his house. By this he condemned the world. He revealed and made clear their condemnation. He went into the ark. No one else would do it. No one else believed. It's in this sense that Noah was set apart from the rest of the world. Genesis chapter 7, verse 1, God says, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. That's what set Noah apart. His faith, his obedience, based on faith. That was a contrast with the rest of the world. And therefore it is said that Noah became the heir of the righteousness. Heir of the righteousness which is by faith. He became a possessor of this righteousness because of his faith. This was not righteousness of works or merit. It was the righteousness of faith. That's all that Noah had all along. He was righteous because of his faith. That's the plain teaching of Scripture. There is no other way to be righteous before God, now since the fall. But by the way of faith, Noah believed in that promise of God, the same promise that Enoch believed, on the basis of which Enoch walked with God. Noah believed in the promise of a Savior, salvation by the grace of God. And he showed that faith by his life of obedience. So that his deliverance from the flood was a picture of the deliverance of his soul from eternal judgment. By faith. And this is the application for us. It was Noah's faith that led to his salvation and his deliverance from the flood. And that's what we need. That's the faith that we need. This is the evidence that we need to understand and to live rightly in this world. This is the spiritual reality of what we need. This is the knowledge that we need, the knowledge that comes by faith. Material things, empirical things, scientific knowledge, these things can be very helpful. They can help to make our lives better materially. They can make our bodies more comfortable. Ethan Frankwood, as a doctor, is instrumental in that, helping people, making their lives better, but not their souls. This knowledge of material things cannot help our souls. Only the knowledge of faith can do that. Our knowledge is fundamentally incomplete if we lack the knowledge of faith. Our lives are incomplete, insufficient, vain if we lack the knowledge of faith. We need to come to terms with what God has said in His Word. We need to believe it and obey it. Only then can we live rightly. Only then can we see clearly and think clearly. Because God's Word has come to us just as it has come to Noah. We cannot ignore it. We cannot pretend that it is not relevant to us. God has spoken. The way we respond is crucial and critical. Just as Noah was warned of judgment, we also are warned. You know, don't you, that there is a very explicit link in Scripture made between the judgment that came in the days of Noah and the judgment that is to come, the last judgment. The Apostle Peter makes that link in 2 Peter chapter 3. Second Peter chapter 3 verse 4, this is what the scoffers say. Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, and by the word of God the heavens were old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. That's the flood, the judgment in the days of Noah. But the heavens and the earth which are now, since the flood, by the same word are kept in store. The same word, the same warning of judgment. Except this is a judgment not of water but of fire, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Just as God judged the world in the days of Noah by water, so that there was an after, Noah was preserved, the line continued, the promise continued, the covenant that God made with Noah, the sign of the covenant, the rainbow, God's redemptive purpose will continue. And now God is going to judge the world by fire. And there will be no after, except the new heaven and new earth. Even more entire and complete change. This is what God says. And yet there are many who will not live in light of that. That's, again, part of the explicit link that is drawn. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 24? As the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. As in the days of Noah they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, so also when the Lord returns. What is wrong with eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage? Nothing in and of itself, but they were doing these things without faith. They were doing these things without regard to the word of God. God says He's going to judge the world. And they go about their lives as if God has not spoken. That's the way so many are living today, isn't it? Is that the way we are living? We go about our lives as if God has not spoken. That's the lesson we need to learn from Noah. Noah heard the word of God, the warning, and he was moved with fear. Are we moved with fear? God says He's going to judge the world, the whole world, by fire. God says there is eternal condemnation for those who are outside of Christ. Does that mean anything to us? That's faith. If we can hear that word and respond with indifference, that's not the response of faith. But if we hear the word of God, if we hear the warning of judgment and we really believe it, what would we do? That's the response of faith. Someone shouts fire and you do nothing. You say, you ignore it. The fire alarm sounds. You say, oh, it's just a drill. You just take your time, pack up your things, talk to your friends, laugh and joke, file down slowly through the staircase, go outside, look at your watch. When is the drill going to be over? That's not faith, right? You take the fire alarm as an indifferent thing. What about the word of God? Is that not an alarm that has been silenced? How are we going to respond? With fear, with holy fear that leads us to order our lives according to His word, or with indifference? By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his life. We must act now with that holy fear and faith and obedience to secure our eternity. Have we made sure of salvation? We know for sure we are in Christ. We have trusted in Him. When He returns, we will be found in His kingdom. Have we made sure of that? Be afraid, be fearful until you have made sure of that. Don't rest. Don't put it off. Don't say, oh, we can wait, it's not important. This is everything. You must be sure. Go to the Lord. Seek Him. Are we walking with the Lord? Are we pleasing Him? When He returns, will we be ashamed? How are we living our lives? How are we relating to others? What thoughts are there in our hearts? We have to be moved with this fear. Again, it's not a craven fear. It's not an oppressive fear. It's a holy fear. Because God has spoken. How can we pretend He hasn't? How can we live as if He hasn't? Again, this must be by faith, because we are warned of things not seen as yet. Whoever saw the whole world, the whole universe, consumed in fire. All the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Whoever saw such a thing? What scientific theory can establish that this is going to happen, when it's going to happen? This is what God says. And who can believe that the ark is the Lord Jesus Christ? Man, He was also the Son of God, who lived 2,000 years ago, died on the cross. Who can believe that that is the ark we need, except by faith? Who can live according to this word and obey the word of God by faith, order his or her life on the basis of this book, except by faith? Faith is what we need. Faith. Real faith that leads to holy fear and a life of obedience. That's what Noah had. That's the example for us. That's what we must persevere in. Again, there is no place to sit on the fence. You have to choose. God has spoken. Either you will believe and act accordingly, or you will go about your life as if He has not spoken. There's no place on the fence. It's one side or the other. Faith or no faith. That's the choice that we must make. Before the Lord, let us choose the way of faith. Believe His word, obey Him, persevere in it. And that is salvation. We are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. As it was with Noah, so it will be for us.
if we are found in Christ, in the ark, life of faith will lead to eternity in the presence of the Lord. I hope that will be the case for each one of us. Let's close with a word. Father in heaven, thank you for this example of Noah and his faith, and how you, in your mercy and grace, commanded him to prepare the ark that he and his household might be saved. Thank you for the infinitely greater salvation, greater ark that we have in the Lord Jesus, our Savior, who came, born of the Virgin Mary, lived a perfect life of obedience in our place, died on the cross for our sins, and rose again gloriously on the third day. I pray you will help us, each one of us, we may make sure of our salvation, our faith, and that that faith may show itself in a life that is lived in sincere and steadfast obedience to the Lord. Help us in this, that we may be found like Noah, saved eternally from the things that are now not seen, do come when they are seen. Pray we will be found on that day already in your kingdom, safe in the Lord Jesus. So help us to live and walk by faith, that we may please you and dwell in your presence forever and ever. In Jesus' name. Thank you.